Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. If you have your Bibles with you, if you'd look with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 11. Joshua, chapter 11. We've been going through Wednesday nights and teaching on the life of Joshua. I trust that you have really been helped by that as we've studied so much. We've seen Joshua in the book of Exodus there as he was in Egypt with Moses, and then through out the wilderness wanderings, all the things that took place coming out of Egypt, going to the promised land, then going back into the promised land. And then God chose to call Joshua to lead the nation of Israel into the promised land. And then all the victories that we have seen and been studying that he has received there in the promised land of Israel, and what a blessing it's all been. I trust that you've been able to learn some of these biblical principles from the life of Joshua. Last week, Joshua obeyed his marching orders when he went into the land of Canaan to utterly destroy all of the inhabitants. Now, that was something that's kind of hard for some people to understand, but it's exactly what needed to be done. God was judging the land of Canaan. He was judging the inhabitants of Canaan because of their atrocities, their abominations, and their evil that they were under. And so he wanted all of that totally destroyed. And of course, that, as we look at that biblical principle in the New Testament, we need to utterly destroy sin out of our lives, and so that we don't have any of the influence of sin in our lives to keep us from accomplishing what God would have us to accomplish. And so we've seen several different things there. I want to go back to Joshua chapter 11. And the one thing that we studied is that there was the witness of God in the land of Canaan, and that witness of God would be under God's law, and the whole world would be impacted by this this influence of Israel on planet Earth. But I want to show you something else tonight. If you go back there with me, we're going to be reading verse 21 down to verse 23. So I want you to stand. We'll read the Word of God together tonight. Everybody seems to be tired. Amen. I don't know. It's been a very hectic week for me as well, and sometimes we just have to tell ourselves to open up our eyes, keep our minds sharp, receive what God has for us. If not, then you're not going to receive what God has for you. And we didn't assemble tonight just to assemble. Amen. We assembled tonight to worship our Lord and to receive whatever it is that God has for us. And so I believe God has something for you. You were faithful to be obedient as you had opportunity to be here tonight. You took advantage of that. And now you ought to be looking for something from the Lord. And I trust that you'll receive that tonight as we study His Word. But here in Joshua chapter 11, verse 21. At that time came Joshua and cut off the Anakims from the mountains, from Hebron, from Derbe, from Anab, and from all of the mountains of Judah, and from all the mountains of Israel. Joshua destroyed them utterly with their cities. There was none of the Anakims left in the land of the children of Israel. Only in Gaza, in Gath, and in Ashdod there remained. So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord had said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel, according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land rested from war. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you once again, thank you for opportunity to be in church and for all that have taken advantage of that and are assembled here tonight. Lord, I don't know exactly what the needs are. I know that you do. Sometimes we don't even realize what we have need of until we have it presented to us. And so I pray tonight that each one of us would be open and receptive to whatever you have for us individually and for us as a church body. Bless the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. So he established God's law in the land of Canaan, which is the land of Israel, and it would be an influence over the world. But there's something else I want you to see here. In verse 21 and verse 22, it talks about, and I believe that God specifically mentions this to help us, he talks about the Anakims. And he says here, and at that time came Joshua and cut off the Anakims from the mountains. He goes on to say, from Hebron to Derbe, from Anab, from the mountains of Judah and from the mountains of Israel, Joshua destroyed them utterly with their cities. Now we're going to see a little bit about who the Anakims were, but they were, if you will, the giants in the land. These would have been a certain type of people that were just, they bred large children. These were the Anakims. They were the giants. They were head and shoulders above all the other inhabitants of the land. And they were some of the most fierce warriors of the world at that time. And he goes on to say, verse 22, there was none of the Anakims left in the land of children of Israel, only in Gaza and in Gath and in Ashdod there remained. Now, those are the cities of the Philistines. If you would study, you'll find that Goliath was one of those Anakims. He was out of Gath. And he was the one that actually was the warrior that all the men of Israel feared, but David went up against. This was just one of many, but yet we find that Goliath was an Anakin. But all of the Anakins that were in the land of Israel, the Bible makes mention of this, that they were all defeated. Now, if you will, go back with me to Numbers in chapter 13. This is why it's very important that we go back and study this, that we see this. 40 years earlier, it was the fear of the Anakims that kept Israel from possessing the land. 40 years earlier, when the 12 spies went into the land, 10 of the spies came back and allowed fear to keep them from accomplishing God's will. God's will was for Israel to go into and possess the land that God would give them, no matter who was there in the land. God was raised up Israel to judge the land of Canaan. And God had already promised to give that to Israel as the promised land. So the spies went in to spy out the land, and they were to come back and encourage the nation of Israel to just have faith in God and trust in His promises and go in and possess the land. They went in, they found the land to be exactly as God told them it was, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land to be desirous of for the whole world would have envied anyone living in the land of Canaan. But when they got there, they seen something that they were not prepared for. At least 10 of them were not prepared for. They seen giants in the land. Look, if we go to Numbers chapter 13 and verse 21. I'm 28, rather. Nevertheless, this is a report. The people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The children of Anak. I think it's very, it's exactly what God wanted. It's not just a coincidence that God mentions at the end of Joshua's possession of the land that all the Anakins were defeated. Look up at verse 33. Numbers chapter 13, verse 33. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. They didn't see themselves as God's instruments of war. They didn't see themselves as the children of a creator God. When they went into the land, they saw the giants here. Satan blinded them to who they were and started to compare themselves with the giants of the land. In comparison, comparing themselves with the giants of the land, they saw themselves as something less than what they were. Grasshoppers. No way can a grasshopper defeat a giant. It was the fear of the Anakims that kept Israel from possessing the land 40 years earlier. 10 spies allowed fear to keep them from accomplishing what God sent them in to accomplish. Can I tell you that's a lesson that we need to learn today? Satan is still using fear to defeat so many. Fear is a tool of the devil. God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. If we see ourselves for who we are in Christ, as a children of an almighty God, with God on our side, we will overcome fear. Yeah. Joshua understood this, and when Joshua was to lead the nation of Israel into the promised land, in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9, now he says much that God revealed to him, but fear was one of the issues that he brought up. And he said in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9, "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Do not allow discouragement to come into your heart and mind. Do not give in to discouragement. Do not give in to fear. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." Be not afraid. If God tells us to be not afraid, then understand that we're going to have temptations to fear. Satan is going to try to get us to fear certain things that would hinder us and keep us from accomplishing what God would have us to accomplish. He continues to use this idea of fear. Isaiah chapter 41, let me just read a few verses to you here as we go through. But Isaiah chapter 41, we find that Isaiah mentions this in chapter 41, gives us strength, gives the nation of Israel strength from what God tells them. In chapter 41, verse 9, he says, "Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from their chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away." God speaking to the nation of Israel. God saying, understand, when you see yourself, you need to understand how I see you. You are my servants. And you need to understand the way I see you, and you need to see yourselves as the servants of a God, an almighty God. And then he says in verse 10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Now, if we truly had faith enough to believe that, if we would examine that when we're facing the fears of life, how much better will we be? In the book of Psalms, we find the psalmist here writes in Psalms 56, verses 1 through 4. Psalms 56, verse 1 through 4 says this, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me." We have battles every day. And if you're not careful, Satan is going to defeat you. You're going to be oppressed. You're going to be caught up in fears. "For man would swallow me up, he fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." When fear rises its ugly head in my heart and in my mind, instead of giving in to fear, he says, "I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." You see, we replace fear with the faith of in trust. When fear comes, and fear is going to come, especially if you're looking to accomplish anything for the cause of Christ, if you're looking to live as God would have you to live and have the testimony that God wants you to have and accomplish what God would have you to accomplish in every platform that you have to serve from, if you're a father, if you're a husband, if you're a mother, if you're a wife, whatever it might be, there's going to come fears as to what God would have you to stand for, what God has you here to accomplish. And as those fears come, we need to be able to stand and say, I am not going to let fear stop me from being and doing what God would have me here to be and do. I am going to overcome my fears by just trusting or having faith in trusting God. Believing God at His word and then trusting Him to fulfill what He says He will fulfill. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. I referred to it a minute ago, but it's a very powerful verse that we need to have in our arsenal to be able to defeat the devil. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear. If you're fearful, can I tell you, it's not from God. It originates from the devil. Now, he might work through your flesh, or he might work through somebody else to bring fear into your life. He might work through the world, but it's not from God. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, if you would have your choice between fear or power, love, and a sound mind, I'd choose power, love, and a sound mind. So I have to have faith in that promise. Faith and trust in that promise that this fear is not from God. And I'm going to look to Him to replace that fear with trust that He will enable me. He will give me power. He'll give me the love. And He'll give me a sound mind to move forward. Hebrews in chapter 13. Hebrews in chapter 13. There's much in the Bible concerning this idea of fear. God put this in there because it was fear that defeated Israel, that kept them 40 years in the wilderness. If they would not have allowed fear into their hearts and minds, they would have been in the promised land 40 years earlier. Hebrews in chapter 13 and verse 6, the Bible says this, so that we may boldly say, now, verse 5, it says, let your conversations be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You trust in that. Trusting in that, he says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I will not fear. I'm not going to allow fear to hinder me and to keep me from accomplishing what God would have me here to accomplish. Too often, we allow unsubstantiated fears to defeat us. Satan works through the imagination of the minds to get you to fear things that will never come to pass. But if he can get you to think it's going to come to pass, he'll defeat us. I remember early on, and I knew that God was wanting to use me in some capacity, didn't know what it was, and the first opportunity I had to teach a Sunday school class. Now, I had been working a little bit with some of the JET Cadets, a youth program that they had in the church I was attending, and they come to me, not much after that, I'd been working with the JET Cadets, and they asked me to take over a junior high youth program. I had not taught Sunday school. And they want me to step into a Sunday school teaching junior high and then run a youth department for the junior high. And I thought, there's no way. And immediately I thought, nah, come on. I've got a past. There's other people better qualified than what I am. There's no doubt there's some others there that can teach much better than I can. I mean, I am a novice at the most here. I've never taught, and just a little bit with junior kids, and now you want to put me in there with junior high, some of the scariest bunch of kids to teach. You never know what a junior high kid's going to do. And fear immediately. No, I'll pass it on to somebody else. Who am I? Surely there's somebody else more qualified. And then the Spirit of God says, but they've asked you. There's a reason that you have this opportunity. In order for me to agree to teach a junior high youth department and run that junior high early on in my ministry here, I mean, we'd just gotten married, I had to overcome the fears of my own mind, my own imagination. I'll fail. They won't listen to me. They'll laugh at me. Because I'll fumble around and not know the Bible like I should know the Bible, and I won't be able to answer their questions, and I won't be able to do this and do that. And if my imagination was just running wild. I didn't know all at that time what was taking place. I look back on it, I know exactly what. Satan wanted to defeat me early on in the ministry that God would call me to. I finally, through prayer, and looked to God and said, Lord, if that's what you would have me to do, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And I was thrown into that junior high department. And I cut my teeth, if you will, preaching and teaching on junior high young people. In that first class, Randy McGath was in that first class. Yeah. If I hadn't have overcome fear, I would have never been able to impact the lives of those that were in that junior high department. Right after that, I was able, through several things that took place, God put me in the youth ministry in that very same church where I had them in junior high. Now I've got them as high schoolers. As I look back now on that class, as far as I know, most of those are serving God today, and their children are serving God, and their children are serving God. If I hadn't overcome that fear, I would have never accomplished and had an opportunity to even impact those people's lives and many others through the years. Because that somewhat gave me the confidence to go into youth ministry. Taking them to a camp, God called me into youth ministry as I was supposed to be ministering to them at junior high camp. Satan tried to keep that from happening. Throughout the years, there's been things that there have been fears going into the pastorate, going into building projects, doing this, doing that. If I didn't know that God does not give us a spirit of fear, I would have let fear control my decisions of life. But I knew that fear was not of God. I was not going to let fears control the decisions I would make. Not too long ago here, I guess it's been 6 years ago now, I was asked as a pastor to take over to be a moderator of the Global Independent Baptist Fellowship, a global movement. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't even text. How in the world can I lead a global fellowship? And I remember the first one I talked to, Wayne Hardy. I said, Brother Wayne, I said, do you think I'm qualified to lead the Global Independent Baptist Fellowship? And he said, well, you have to work on your text and your emailing, but he said, you've got the talent, you've got the ability to do it. Yeah. The fear was not going to get me to turn that down. I accepted that, and I've grew a lot. Writing articles that were that was placed in every issue of the Baptist Times for 4 years, and taking on the leadership role of the national, this global movement, If it was up to fear and me, I wouldn't have done it. But when I knew it was God's will for my life, I trusted God. If it's something that God would have us to do, we cannot allow fear to stop us. If you have been given an opportunity, understand that God brings those opportunities. God opens doors in our lives. And when He opens a door, I cannot allow fear to keep me from going through that door. But there will, if it's going to work for the cause of Christ, if it's something that God wants you to do, I guarantee you, Satan wants to use a tool of fear to keep you from doing what God would have you to do. Whatever that might be. The Anakins kept 10 of the spies from thinking that they could possess the land of Canaan. Through those 10 spies, they influenced the entire nation of Israel to turn against God, to turn against God's will for their life. Joshua was given the opportunity. And we read here in Joshua chapter 11, the Bible wants us to know. Verse 22, there was none of the Anakins left in the land of the children of Israel. Joshua proved that he and Caleb were right in wanting to possess the land by faith in God 40 years earlier. That tells me we need more Joshuas and Calebs who will simply obey God. Because of their faith, all of Israel would now be able to receive their inheritance. First of all, the 10 spies, they kept Israel from inheriting and getting the promised land. Now they had to go back into the wilderness, and all of them would die in the wilderness. All of them with the age of accountability that had anything to do with the decision to not go into the land of Israel, they died in the wilderness. All 10 of the spies died in the wilderness because of their fear. Now Joshua says, because we did obeyed God and was able to destroy the Anakins out of the land, now the all of Israel can have the inheritance that God has for them. The blessings that God would have for them. So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord had said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel. Because he overcome fear. When believers do God's will, others will benefit from it. Amen. Souls will be saved. Amen. Your influence, your testimony. God has a purpose for what He's called us to do, and whatever that might be. And the main reason is so souls will be saved. God knew who was going to be in that junior high department. He knew who was going to be in that youth department. He knew exactly who was going to be influenced by one of His servants. Yeah. The land will have an influence for righteousness when God's people overcome fear. Ten of the spies would perish in the wilderness, but Caleb, what would happen to Caleb? The only two that overcame fear and tried to influence Israel was Caleb and Joshua. Look over, and we're almost done here. I'm almost finished. Joshua chapter 14, I want you to see this. The 10 spies who allowed fear to control their decision-making died in the wilderness. No one remembers their names. Can you give me one name of the 10 spies that let fear control their lives? They did nothing for the cause. They died without accomplishing anything. That was not God's will. Caleb would be blessed. Look at Joshua chapter 14, verse 10. Now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Been 45 years now. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. 85 years old. And yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. If nothing else, that's reason enough. For 45 years, he didn't age. For 45 years, he didn't lose any strength. God said, because of your overcoming the fear and your desire to walk through the door, he says, I'm just going to put you on hold, and in 45 years, you're going to have the very same strength you do now. You're going to have the very same fire and the fervor that you do now, and I'm going to use you in the promised land. That tells me that God blesses those who overcome fears. He would get his mountain all because he overcame fear. The other one that overcame fear was Joshua. He established such a testimony that believers, even today, want to name their children after him. You see, we all know the names of Caleb and Joshua. Because they made an impact. They accomplished something for God. Joshua was given the opportunity to lead God's people to possess the land. In closing, look back there with me. Very important. Joshua chapter 1. He understood that. He understood what he and Caleb were able to do. Was there fear? Was there the same temptation of fear when he looked on the Anakims? Yes. Who would not fear going up against a 9 foot tall, a whole city of 9 feet tall giants? If it was just him going up against them, or the Israel without God going up against the giants, they would have had the very same fears that the other 10 spies had. But they did not see themselves as grasshoppers. They saw themselves as the children of God. They knew that they had God on their side. And with God on their side, they could go through any door. Accomplish anything that God wanted them to accomplish. And so in his challenge to Israel as they would enter into the promised land, again, verse 9, have not I commanded thee? Is this not the commandment of God? Is this not something that aligns itself with God's will for my life? If it is, be strong. And of a good courage. Be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee. Whithersoever thou goest, and whatsoever he asks us to do. Overcome that fear. Let God give you the victory. If I could, every head bowed. Replace fear with faith and trust. What is that fear? What is it that you have an opportunity to do? An open door that God has brought into your life. Even if you don't have it now, it's coming. And if it's God's will, Satan's going to try to hinder you from going through that door and accomplishing what God wants you to accomplish. And the way he will do that, first of all, is through a tool of fear. There's an invitation going on right now. We're not going to have a musical invitation. Very seldom do we on Wednesday night, but there is an invitation. God's speaking to you. Maybe this exactly what you need to hear, because you're on the verge of turning away from an opportunity for fear. If it's God's will, if it's something that you know to be what God would have you to do and accomplish, don't allow fear to keep you from it. Anyone else? You need to come tonight. We invite you to come. Father, we bow before you. We do love you. Thank you, Lord God, for the truth of your word. Thank you for this passage of scripture and coming to the end of the battles of war, but to see the Anakins and then to understand why you recorded that, and the Anakins, the giants that kept out Israel in the first 40 years earlier. And I pray, God, that we would learn the lesson that Joshua and Caleb had learned, not to allow fear to defeat them. As we get ready to dismiss now, I pray that you'd watch over us, get us all home safely, and bring us back at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name.